T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kevin Harlan is joining us now. He is one of the great play-by-play mans in America. Forget America, the world. There can't be better people in other countries. It's impossible. The world. Have you scouted out the play-by-play man around the world, Kevin?
I have not. I'm sure there are many good ones out there in soccer and cricket and everything else, but I'm glad I'm in this country.
Kevin, it's great to have you with us. Kevin will be doing the AFC Championship game, Titans-Chiefs on Westwood One, of course. Starting at 2 p.m., we'll have it right here on The Fan along with Tony Boselli and Laura Oakman. Kevin, this game, very exciting because, I think we all thought it would be Baltimore and Kansas City, but this run by that Tennessee's on has really been remarkable, you know?
You know, Adam, I think it's as good a run as any sixth seed has ever gone through. Now, Green Bay, when they made the Super Bowl back in 2010, they had to go, I think, through Philadelphia and Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. But they had a run that was kind of like this. I think they also won in Atlanta. I think, did they go to Philadelphia, Atlanta? Maybe, and then they won the, anyway. But
right.
They had a great run. And the Giants had a pretty good run as a sixth seed just before that in 07 and then beat New England. But this one right here, you beat the defending Super Bowl champion and all the things that Belichick and Brady represent. You win in Foxborough. Then you go and take on a 14-win, well-rested Baltimore team with the probable MVP, the probable coach of the year, and everybody's favorite not only to make Miami, but win in Miami in Super Bowl 54. They beat them soundly. So this is like the best Cinderella story that, as fans, we could hope for. It doesn't have a lot of glitz. It's old school football, and maybe that's why they don't, you know, get that wow factor from so many. But people in the business, people that follow football, know that what they're doing is pretty incredible. And should they get past Kansas City, I can't think of a more historically successful underdog postseason run than these guys, regardless of what happens in Miami, if they make it that far. To get by those three teams would be, like, unbelievable. And they've gotten by two of them, and I think they've got a decent shot in Kansas City this weekend.
I agree with you, Kevin. And, you know, the injury on the defensive line for Kansas City is big because that's one of their best run stoppers. And of course, Derrick Henry has just been on an absolute terror throughout the postseason. The question is, you know, can they continue this? And, you know, I think I read that Tennessee played like 92 snaps or something like last week. So like, is their defense going to be worn out to go against Mahomes? What's the game plan, do you think?
Well, Dustin, I think that they're going to stick basically with what they got. My only question is, how much does Derrick Henry have in the tank? I mean, you know, history would tell you, the analytics would tell you that these guys wear down. They got the short shelf life. We all know that. The history of a running back that runs like this often that way, is not good and not long-lasting. The longevity is something that's a concern. But so far, I mean, the kid doesn't seem to be slowing down. In fact, he gets better as time goes on. He may be one of those outliers that, because of his big frame, big body, it doesn't matter. And I guarantee you that he has played defensive guys. I don't know if it's been in the last 2 weeks, but guys say, I don't want a part of that. I'm not getting in the way. Well, you kidding me? Well, I'm not going to hit that. As he comes barreling down on you, and you know, it's going to be cold and windy. And, you know, this is old school football. This is run the ball and play defense. And you know, when they played last week against Jackson in Baltimore, there was a lot of passing, very similar to what Kansas City would do, moving pocket, different launch point, all that stuff. So it's kind of like they've already been down this road in terms of prep. I'm not saying that Mahomes runs like Jackson, but he does launch it from a different way than the traditional quarterback. So they've already gone against a team that threw, what, 55, 60 times last week. I think they're going to probably see the same, because Kansas City's running game is negligible. And I think that, you know, that's going to be on a cold, windy day, something that might favor Tennessee a little bit. I mean, listen, their hands are full. There's no doubt. I'm not saying that this is a slam dunk, but I do think that this will be much more of a challenge for the Chiefs than Houston was a week ago in the divisional round.
We're talking with the great Kevin Harlan with us on the call. Westwood One this week. Titans, Chiefs. Can't wait for that game. It'll be right here on The Fan. Kevin is the National Sports Media Association 2019 National Sportscaster of the Year. Well-deserved. In addition to just being a great play-by-play man, just of all the sports, but some of these like incredible like non or sports adjacent moments, the black cat,
naked
the goofball,
guys on the field,
naked guys on the field. I mean, these things are amazing. The end of the season, what was it? The two games, the Patriots and the
Dolphins, Patriots,
and what was the other game? He was doing the
the
two games you were calling the end
two
at,
games
the
at the same time.
Kevin.
Yeah,
that was a CBS. That was Week 17, and the Chiefs were playing the Chargers.
Yeah, right,
that's right. And they had the other game and a monitor off to our left, as they always do, and it's called a net return feed.
Yeah.
And we have that monitor there because when James Brown breaks into our game that we're broadcasting, he'll give us, you know, highlights of other games around the league. So that game was on. I said, don't put on our game. Put on the Miami-New England game. And really until late in the Chiefs game, when they knew they had the game, that I really even pay attention. Because you may recall, the Chiefs had to win, the Patriots had to lose for the Chiefs to get the bye. And as it turned out, the Patriots really needed the bye. They didn't get it. They blew a game at home against lowly Miami. So as the Chiefs are getting a cushion with an incredible touchdown run late in their game against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, at the same time, Fitzpatrick has engineered the Dolphins to a goal to go late in the game in Foxborough. And if they score, they're going to win. And the Chiefs kicked the extra point, and then the Dolphins threw the touchdown pass. Listen, anybody could have done it. It just was the intersection.
No, Kevin. No, no way anybody could have done that. No way.
You're nice to say that, but it really, you know, one happened, and then the other happened, and then the Chiefs game, and then they finished, and then the Chiefs won. So it was really, the timing was really, it really worked out very well for that little story and situation.
I got to know, though, when you do, you know, the black hat or the goofball on the field with the hat or the fan on the field, like when you do, when these things are over, when those moments are over, do you sit back and say, wow, that was amazing? Like, do you realize like how crazy people love these things? These are incredible moments.
Oh, no. In fact, I say, I go, uh-oh, did I pull the wrong trigger? Did I mess up? And but listen, here's what happened in those games. To be fair, the cat came on the field during the game. I mean, it wasn't like something off in the stands or on the sideline or like was just kind of like kind of a sideshow. I mean, that cat came out, and the players, they stopped play, and the Cowboys and the Giants turned around to look at the cat, which was looking back at them from the 50. So, I mean, like, it was now part of the story. And the drunk out in Santa Clara ran right through the slot receiver's position as the Rams are getting ready to snap the ball against the 49ers in that game in Santa Clara. So, like, they happened, like, they could have touched the players, both of those different incidents. And that's why I said it. I mean, you know, but listen, that way, again, that's just like anybody could have. I mean, that was just like kind of like dumb luck. It was just like they were there. It happened. We had fun. And then we went on with the game. And, no, after I did both, like the drunk in particular, I didn't even give a second thought. When I was doing the Timberwolves and the Chiefs on local radio and TV, I did that stuff all the time. Yeah. Like, but no one ever said anything about it. So I did it again, and I didn't think one thing about it. And sure enough, it people – I don't know.
Amazing.
People like that stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's I don't want to be known for that, but it's happened.
Sure.
And it's part of the story now. So anyway, it is what it is, I guess.
What do you think about the NFC game, Kevin?
Well, I think Green Bay is one player short. I think the difference between the Niners and the Packers is that the Niners have an elite tight end. They have two good to very good receivers and maybe a third who probably could be in that conversation. And they got a three-headed monster at running back. And the Packers have a two-headed monster at running back. They've got an ordinary aging receiver who has trouble getting open, and they have one elite receiver. And to me, that's the difference. Garoppolo is going to go back and he's going to have like five options on every play, and Rodgers has two. And those numbers don't add up. If Green Bay had another receiver that, I'm not talking elite, I'm just talking good to very good, mm-hmm. not even Pro Bowl caliber, to couple with Devontae Adams, I think that this would be a pick 'em. Because I think that is what has hurt Rodgers all season long. He throws the ball away. He throws to receivers that aren't on the same page. They're young and inexperienced and not ready, but they had no other choice. So when Adams went out with an injury for four games, you know, the team struggled, and that was why. And then he comes back, and now they've won their last six games, including last week in the divisional round against the Seahawks and Wilson. So Green Bay does not have that secondary look when passing the ball. And so consequently, the running backs have had to become that guy. The backup tight end has had to fill in. I mean, it's just like anybody you can put on a jersey, and that's hurt Rodgers. So it's shocking that he's thrown for over 4,000 yards, and he's only thrown, what, four interceptions or whatever.
Right.
But he's been smart in throwing the ball away when these other guys aren't open and Adams is double-teamed. So that to me, is the biggest difference.
By the way, one call we did not mention, all the having fun, was a great actual basketball call.
LeBron?
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
No regard for human life, one of the all-time
yeah,
moments.
That was fun. That was at your arena and over Garnett, and LeBron was just kind of beginning his narrative and his career, and it was new, winning was new, and he was coming on the scene, and I was doing it with Doug Collins, and
yeah.
Doug put his left arm and put it against my chest and shoved me backwards. So as I'm saying that, Doug and I are falling into the lap of the people in back of us. And I was like, I was craning my neck to see, did he actually get it in? Because his reaction was like, oh my God, did you just see what I just did on Garnett? And that's why that all happened the
wow.
way it did. Because Doug knocked us both over. We were on our backs in people's laps in back of us.
What did LeBron, did LeBron talk to you about that, like after, or maybe, you know, about that call? Did he ever talk to you about
no,
it?
No, he hasn't. He'll wink occasionally or nod yeah. or something like that. He, I don't make a lot of eye contact with the players, but I, you can't take your eyes off LeBron because yeah. of who he is and what he's done. But I think he knows. That gets brought up a lot, and he probably is. He knows that if he named the top 10 dunks in his career, I would think he'd probably, just because of what he did to the reigning defensive player of the year in a playoff game at home, and that kind of changed that game and sealed that win for the Cavs in that playoff game against Boston.
Everybody, make sure you're listening. We have the coverage right here on The Fan, Westwood One's coverage of the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game, but the golden tones of Kevin Harlan along with Tony Boselli and Laura Oakman this Sunday, 2 p.m., Kevin, thank you so much for the time. It's always great to hear from you. We'll look forward to listening to you on Sunday.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Always fun to be on, Adam and Dustin. Thanks for having me on, and have a great weekend. And let's hope we get a great matchup
in what
is going to be a wonderful championship Sunday, I think. Thanks,
Kevin. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Harlan, he's incredible.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.